Hello and welcome back, folks. I just wanted to tell you that I'm a big believer in karma, and it looks like today we have Nitala who's going to deliver some karma to me. So Nitala, welcome, and if you want to tell us a little bit about yourself.
Of course, yeah. Thanks, Agnel. There are very few people in the world who call me by my last name. So to everyone who do not know me, I'm Bharani Madhav Nitala. I also go by Bharani, you know, just so that people can call me easy that way. And I come from Vizag, Andhra Pradesh, and I'm currently working with Amazon Ads. I'm leading the industry insights for CPG, healthcare, and grocery advertisers, but that's the work I do. But yeah, thanks for hosting me.
Thank you, Nitala. So, okay, so like I said, this was going to be a karma session where generally I ask people a lot of questions, but it looks like you have questions that you want to ask me. So I'm just going to, you know, give you the floor and you can bombard me with whatever questions you have, Nitala, please.
Sure, of course. No, seriously, I have followed your content, and then last time I checked, you have like 2.8 thousand subscribers and 143,000 views overall, and few of the videos topping 32,000. That is just amazing stuff, right? Like all this you're able to achieve in like 1.5 years, and I believe that that's an amazing journey. So what I want to do in this video is learn from you on like what's your path, like how did you go from, let's say, the first view that you got and the first subscriber you got to point where you are, right? And to give a bit more context to the audience, I also want to say that the content doesn't necessarily be on one topic. I've seen Agnel's content going from investing, leadership, career advice, travel, COVID and mental health, and even your speakers, they range from Gen Z to boomers. So this is a lot, right? So let's reverse the roles, and I'll actually ask you a couple of questions, and then, you know, ask you to answer that, right? So the other thing that I want to say is I'm a bit data savvy person, so I'll try to like plug in my own research here and there. So with that said, let's get started. I have four sections. The first section is what is your purpose? And the first question I have in that is why podcasts? What made you start this channel?
So, okay, why podcasts and what made me start this channel? Okay, so I would put it in a very simple way, Nitala. So I think one thing is I really like talking to people, right? I'm a very social person. I enjoy talking to people. So, you know, I think that's one, if you notice, a very important theme in this podcast. It's not just me talking. It's me talking to people and learning from them. And that brings me to the next point is I read a lot. I listen to podcasts myself. So I would like to say that I'm in this journey of continuous learning, right? I want to keep learning. So what happened was that I think this particular, I don't know if you want to call it podcasts or, you know, videos and things like that, helped me do two of these things that I really like a lot, right? So one is talking to people, and two is learning. So it's just a combination of all of this. And of course, I mean, it's not like I had this overnight, you know, vision or dream or something that just happened. But, you know, I started it during this whole COVID thing where I really needed to kill some time. And I was like, what can I do? Right. I was missing talking to people. And I think, you know, I think this was the idea where I would get to talk to people and learn a lot as well. So that's one. But there's another thing that's constantly on my mind, Dala. So, you know, when people graduate out of colleges or universities or, you know, engineering colleges or any other degree, right? So the biggest complaint that corporates have is that these people are not industry ready, right? So they don't have industry experience, and they have to be trained and stuff like that. So at some point, I have this vision where, you know, can I create something that's fun, that's something that you know, people, younger people will want to do and watch instead of just reading a book, right? Mm-hmm. Where they can learn from the industry, they can learn from industry leaders, they can learn from experienced people and be ready for the industry as they graduate. So I think that's the other vision that I have.
Got it.
I'm taking small steps towards it, but I don't believe I'm there yet. But I would think at some point my vision would be to have enough content where people are industry or corporate ready. So I think that's, short answer to your, I don't think it's a short answer. It's a longer answer to your, detailed answer to your question, Nitala. So, yeah.
Got it. So a couple of thoughts from my end, right? So it's so interesting, like what we all did at different, you know, points of that peak COVID period. Like I started running at the same time, right? And then you started doing podcasts. And the second point that I thought of mentioning is how you are thinking about making somebody be corporate ready or to learn something more. I want to share an interesting fact that in the US, there's a survey that was done in October 2021, and about 56% of the age group 12 to 34 are actually listening to the podcast. So probably, you know, you actually caught the right thing. So you are definitely doing great that way. So that brings me to the next question in what is your purpose, which is what are your listeners saying about your podcast and what does it mean to you?
So you touched on something interesting when you were making the introduction, Nitala. So the point you made was it's a very diverse set of topics and it's a very diverse set of people as well that I speak to, right? So I think the youngest that I've spoken to is my niece, who's like 6.5 years old. And I think the oldest must be one of my former colleagues who retired like a few years back. So he's probably in his 60s. It's the oldest I can think of. I don't know if I've spoken to someone older than that on the podcast, but so think about it. It's like 6 to 60, right? So, so there is not, unfortunately, I've not specialized on a particular topic, so I don't get, you know, constant feedback from a community of listeners or something like that. So what happens is for each video, there's a different audience and there's, you know, different people who come back and, you know, tell me something, right, in terms of feedback. So I'll share some of the good feedback that I've received, but I've also received some very, very constructive criticism/feedback saying, can you do this, right? Change the way you speak about certain things. So there's both sides to it, but I'll probably share the good stuff, right? So I just made a list here, as you told me that, you know, we were going to discuss some of this. So you mentioned the travel video. I think some feedback that I got was, hey, this is so helpful. It's given me things to add to my list, right? Mm-hmm. So where should I visit? The next was, I think the most recent one I did was on MLMs, and where someone said that, thank you for sharing this because now every time I'm approached with, you know, an MLM or an Amway, you know, kind of scheme, then this is the video I'm going to send them, right? So yeah. I think it's helping people. I had done one on mental health where, you know, I've had people message me separately saying, you know, I was very hesitant to get help, you know, just watching your videos, I've actually decided to get help. I've had people text me separately, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, they wouldn't comment something like that on a public page, but I've had people. So to me, if I can make a difference and change the life of one person, I think that's a success. I have a few career-related videos. I think you pointed that out as well.
Yeah.
I have a former classmate of mine who pinged me saying, listen, man, you know, whenever I'm interviewing, I actually go and listen to some of your videos to help me prepare better, right? So there's, you know, so I think that's another feedback that I've got.
I can vote for that.
So thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Definitely vote for that, yeah.
So there's another very interesting story. So I had a neighbor and we ended up talking about Tesla and stuff like that. So he took my number and because I told him that, hey, I have a video that I can share with you on why I think, why my personal opinion, right? Why I think that I should, that, you know, you should consider buying a Tesla if you're considering buying a car, right? So, so he, of course, he took my number. He texted me saying, hey, can you share that video? And I sent him the video and his response back was, after watching this, I'm pretty convinced that I should consider Tesla. He said, I may not definitely buy it, but I'm now considering it. It's, you know, in my high priority list, right? There was one that I did on vaccines, which and I'm actually working on another one on breakthrough infections and boosters and things like that. But mm-hmm. but the earlier one that I did on vaccines feedback was, hey, thanks a lot for sharing this. I'm going to share it with people who are hesitant to take the vaccine or who have mm-hmm. the same questions that you have asked in the video, right? Mm-hmm. And something that's very close to my heart is, my dad was a little hesitant, right? So he was, maybe it's our parents' generation, and for a lot of reasons, he was a little hesitant, but I sent him the video. Obviously I don't think he's directly admitting to it, but he did go and get a vaccine after I sent him the video, maybe a week or two after I sent him the video. So,
there's a correlation.
Yes,
right?
Yes, definitely a correlation, Hidala. Yeah. So I think, again, to answer your question, this is all different feedback that I get. Like I said, there's not one community that comes and listens to it and comments on everything. It's different people, different topics, and then a different set of people comment about different things. So it's very diverse. I think that's the way I would put it, Hidala. So, yeah.
Got it. Yeah, no, even to think about it, right? It's always insightful to talk to you and listen to you. So imagine, like, you are just recording that and putting out there for people to listen to that whenever they want, right? So that's the best part, I believe, on what you're doing and like why you're getting that success so far.
True.
So I did some research on why people do not want to listen to podcasts. Mm-hmm. Right? And this is based on just US and Europe data. So the number one reason is they don't have enough time. Well, I don't know if, that those people should give a try at least to know what a podcast is. But at least that's the first reason, that they don't have enough time. The second reason is they think there is not enough unique content on podcast, which they cannot find it elsewhere. And the third one is they are too long. So I think that's an interesting thing as well. Like, podcast being, let's say, 2 hours and even like 1 hour. Well, like maybe I can do something else during that time, right? That's an interesting thing that I thought in this context. So let me ask you a different question now. Like, when you create the content, like, do you keep checking the page visits on a daily basis just to feel good about what you're doing? Or what are your success criteria? What drives you?
So I don't check my page views or video views or on a regular basis. Now, occasionally I will go in to YouTube has a separate app where I can go in and check. So occasionally I do that, but I don't, I'm not obsessed over it, Natala. So I think that's one. So I personally don't, right? Not on a regular basis, at least. But I think the second part of your question is very interesting in terms of how do I define success criteria. I think it's maybe a couple of things, right? So I think the first is, am I learning something by talking to this person? So if I'm learning something by talking to this person, I just record it and put it out there, right? Because if I can learn something, there's someone somewhere who can also learn something. Right. So I think that is one. The other thing is, again, goes back to the second part of what I said earlier is helping people. So I learn, but can I also help other people? Can I help other people learn? Right. I'll give you a very simple example of what, about why or how I think through something like that is I was talking to a friend recently about making a video to help managers become better leaders. Right. So help people managers or people leaders. Help them become better leaders, right? And her comment was, do you really think there's an audience for this? Is there a large audience? Will a lot of people listen to something like that? So I think that was my answer, right? So exactly what you said. I said that, see, it's not a question of, I'm not looking for a million people to listen to this. If I can change or improve the leadership style of one person, right? I've actually made a difference. That is still a success for me, right? Mm-hmm. If I can learn from the video, that's a success for me already. And if I can help change the leadership style of one person, that's, I think, amazing success for me, because changing the leadership style of one person is actually having a better experience for a whole team that could probably affect 10 or maybe 100 people, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times what happens is we learn from the leaders that we see, right? So I'm looking at my, boss and learning management skills. I'm learning people skills from my boss. So if that one person can influence the leadership style of 10 people, then, you know, from one, I've actually now influenced 11 people to become better leaders, better human beings, and eventually to live in a better world, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's my vision. It sounds very grand, but I'm looking for one person.
Yeah.
So again, you know, like a very long, detailed answer, but that's my perspective, Nitala. So,
Now I'm definitely looking forward to it. Like when you create that. So let's maybe shuffle the questions a bit and then move to the next section, which is what do you need, right? So the first question on this is what really qualifies as a podcast? I see people making content on video, like with their video on, while few are keeping with their video off. Some are panel discussions with two or more people. So what type do you make?
Okay. So, I mean, you know me for quite a few years now. So if there's one of the things about me is I generally don't go by societal norms and definitions for most things. Right. So at least that's the way I lead my life. Right. So I don't have a good definition. You know, I think a podcast is an audio format. Anything. So if it's one person talking, two people talking, or a panel of people talking, to me, that's all. That's all. As long as, you know, like I said, if I'm learning and if one other person is learning something, I think that's a success to me. That said, I do have a couple of solo videos or podcasts that I've published. It helps me learn because I think of a topic, I research the topic, and then I speak about it. So it definitely helps me, and I hope helps at least one other person, like I said. So I do have a few solo. Most of my podcasts are with two people, so it's like this conversation that you and I are having. Though I do have a couple of panel ones as well. I think there was an investing one where I had a panel, and I'm working on another one that is again slightly on the management technique and future of work and stuff like that, which is probably going to be a panel. Now people have said yes. Getting their time is a little tough, so that's a bit of a problem. But I think what happens is if it's more than two people, right? So coordinating schedules becomes a little bit of an issue. So which is why I try to make it two people, because it's just easy to kind of get two people to be free at the same time. It's easier. So that's the way I put it, Dara. So yeah.
Now, even if you just look at the overall numbers in the US, like who are listening to podcasts once in a year, right? Or at least once in a year, it's kind of going from like 82.7 million in 2021 last year, which is expected to grow up to like 100 million like 2 years from now. So that just speaks volumes about this as a channel, right? Like how people are listening more and more to the podcast and then seeing that there's a value in listening to it, right? So I think it's definitely one of those which will continue to grow. So speaking specifically about your channel, I see a lot of diversity in the content you create, right? Is it by design or are you following a plan or a technique?
So it's not a fluke. It is like very well thought out, and it is by design, I would say. So I want it to be very diverse, Nitala. And there's a book that I recommend. I just made a note of that book here. So it's called Range: Why Generalists Triumph in a Specialized World by David Epstein. Right. Mm. So I really recommend people read this book. And one of the best examples that the author talks about, David Epstein talks about, is called the Roger Federer versus Tiger Woods debate, right? So Tiger Woods has been practicing golf. They are both, probably among the best in history in their sport, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, arguably, right? Okay, you might be a Nadal or a Djokovic or a Pete Sampras fan. Of course, I'm a Nadal fan myself, but I still agree that Roger Federer is among the greatest tennis players in history, right? And Tiger Woods is probably, again, among the greatest golfers in history, right? So they have very different ways to where they came to the pinnacle of their sport, right? Is Tiger Woods picked up a golf club when he was 3 years old and was only playing golf since then, right? Mm-hmm. So he's done only that and he's an expert at it. Roger mm-hmm. Federer apparently played every other sport possible. So mm-hmm. he played every other sport possible. And today when Roger Federer plays tennis, it's more of poetry in motion. He's like an artist yeah. than a sportsman, right? So to me, leadership is more in the Roger Federer, school of thought, right? Mm-hmm. Not that he's proposed this or something like that. It's just someone else from the outside has analyzed this. So I feel like it's important for you to know a lot of different things to be a better leader. Because mm-hmm. if you know only one thing and you know it super well, you may be a good leader, but you're more of a subject matter expert than necessarily a good leader, right? Because if you know one thing and you know it really, really well, in my opinion, you know, as a leader, you have to have a lot of empathy, right? So you have to know how your team works with other teams, works with the overall value chain, right? And that, in my opinion, is very important. So So coming back to your question, is the channel is purposely designed not to just help you or me improve in just one thing, right? So the channel is designed for you to understand about mental health, because are you being empathetic towards your team, and does your team need help from a mental health perspective, right? Mm-hmm. I've spoken to product managers where, can you bring in a product mindset to your team? I've spoken to project managers where, can you understand, are you developing empathy from what a project manager needs to do, right? So it's really a lot of, I would say, overall development as against just picking a topic and then going super deep in that. I'm not against going super deep in a topic, right? It's just my philosophy that leaders need to know a wider variety of things. Some people say, no, leaders need to be the expert, the best in their field, and that's a perspective. So yeah, again, long answer to your question, it's planned, it's very got by it. Design.
Yeah, now I'm gonna maybe give you some tips on like what are the trending genres, right? Like here's something I was looking for, like, what really is a trending genre, like what do people really listen to? So it seems comedy, news, crime, sports, and health fitness are the top things, right? So I know you touched upon a couple of them. Probably, you know, it's like for you to think about, you know, do you want to make something on comedy? I know you do make some good fun now and then. So yeah, you know, just something to consider, I guess. Cool. So yeah. I'm going to ask you a different question and give me a short answer on this. So like in our line of work in analytics, you know how it's a combination of science and art. Do you think, and is it fair to say that podcasts need similar preparation? Yes or no?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Got it. Yeah, this is something that we'll dive deep into in later part or maybe in different podcasts. But I think, this is something we should definitely understand a bit more on why you think science and art. But let me ask you a different one. How time consuming is a process? Like, do you like stop going out or meeting people just to make this podcast? Like, what do you think?
It's pretty time consuming. I don't stop going out and meeting people, but yeah, am I meeting people a little less than, let's say, pre-COVID? Probably yes, because I have to take time out. So I think the way I've kind of built my schedule around this whole thing is, obviously I'm working full time, right? Because I'm not looking at the podcast to make me any money. It's more to learn. So I work full time. So if I have to either plan a record, it's going to be probably on a weekend or a weekday evening. So the way I've done it is I set aside at least 4 hours every weekend to only focus on this, right? Yeah. So it's not less than 4 hours. Sometimes it's more than 4 hours, but on most weekends it's you know, give or take 4 hours. So that way, let's say I pick a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning, and then I do only this. So the remaining, you know, afternoon, evening, morning is all available, Itala. So it is time consuming, but this is the way I plan around it, or a weekday evening. So that's kind of how I think about it.
I also know that you are an early riser, so you kind of plan your day in such a way that you carve out those 4 hours somehow to make this, right? So maybe
yes.
I, as being a lazy person, I'm just like sleeping during that time, right? So I don't say that you are not really, you know, spending the time wisely. I rather think you're actually doing great stuff here. So yeah, keep doing it. Whatever you're doing is working.
Thank you.
Well.
Thank you.
So who are your podcast audience? Like, do you analyze the data at all, like by ethnicity, geography, gender, age, and stuff like that?
Oh man. So no. But now that you've asked me this, I think I should. I'm going to start doing it. You ask a good question, and I have just not thought about it because I don't know. I just have not thought about it. So
got it.
Yeah.
It might be even the way how you are progressing right now, right? It's like your priority right now is on the content, and then you're like, well, like, let me talk to some of the people who can talk about this, let's say like the leadership and the managerial space that you're talking about, right? But yeah. I definitely recommend, maybe this is like one other aspect to consider in general. That brings us to the next section, how good is good? And the first one I have in that is, what makes a podcast a good, if not a great podcast?
So I'm going to go back, Nitala, to what I said earlier is the two things. Is one is, have I learned something from it? Can this information also help other people, right? Mm-hmm. To me, I think it's two very simple things, Nitala. Just these two.
Got it. Now that kind of resonates well with what I'm seeing with overall trend as well. Like, whether it be podcasts or anything, like, people should see value in it, right? Like,
yeah,
if there is no
yeah.
value, then there's no point in like doing that stuff again and again. So
yeah.
that makes sense. So my next question is, how to make a great podcast? Like, does it take passion or skill or both?
It's a bit of both, but I think if you're passionate about it, even you know, even if you don't have the skill, skill is something that you can practice and get, Nitala. So I would say passion is more important than skill, because if you're skilled and you don't have the passion for it, it may not do as well. But if you're passionate about it, you'll develop the skill, and over time you'll exceed expectations, Nitala.
Got it. So let's talk about the skill, right? Once I was told that I don't have a podcast voice. I mean, I don't even know what that means, but like, what do you think? Is voice an important part of podcast at all?
Okay. I've never thought about this, but I've never thought about the second part of your question, which is voice an important part of podcast? I think each of us are unique in our own ways. And so if you can bring that uniqueness out, you know, like, it doesn't matter where you have a deep voice or, you know, not so deep voice. If you have a professional voice, you don't have a professional voice, you have an accent, you don't have an accent. I think all of that doesn't matter. If you're passionate about it, if you bring your uniqueness out, you should be good. Going back to the first part of your question, someone telling you that you don't have a podcast voice, I don't agree, but you should probably ask them, why do they say that? What is making them say it? And if it's something that you can change, then maybe you can change that. But if it's something that is uniquely you, I would suggest don't change it, right? I mean, that's what makes you stand out. That's what I'd say.
That makes sense. Like, you know, I was even seeing this episode yesterday on like Next Level Chef, which is all about cooking, right? And there's this black woman who was saying, well, I want people to look at me and understand that even like identify themselves in me, and they can make the stuff as what I'm doing as good as I'm doing. Probably it's that, right? Like if I say, if there are people like me and who identify themselves with me, then probably I should not even bother about that. Yes. But I also like the fact and the point that you just made, which is if there is a clear difference that you can bring, like there is something that is missing, you should ask what the feedback is and probably make that change. So I like that. So that makes sense. So not that you are on, you're going on a good path, right? Like you are definitely my role model. So does it mean I can't have my own channel? Like, are we not going to speak to each other if I copy you or stuff like that?
No, I think you should have your own channel, right? So me personally, I think that I appreciate and I actually welcome differences. Uniqueness, I think you should have your own channel. If you have your own channel, I might actually speak to you more than speak to you less. So if you start your channel, I'm actually really looking forward to it, or your own podcast, whatever it is, I'm really looking forward to it. In fact, I'll probably speak to you more. I would actually love to be, if you're speaking to people, if it's a conversational style podcast, then I would actually love to be a guest on your podcast, right?
Yeah,
so no, absolutely. I request you to start it, and if you do, I will actually be your biggest fan. That's cool. The way I put it. So, yeah.
Thanks so much. Cool. Awesome. Definitely something I should think about then.
Yeah.
That brings me to the last section of this podcast, which is URL to IRL in real life. Mm-hmm. So, what is the most annoying part in this entire process?
Personally, for me, maybe I can talk about the different steps while I'm planning a podcast, and maybe then I can talk about what annoys me, right? So I think the first is I think of a topic, and then I say, okay, this topic is important. Who can I talk to intelligently about this topic, right? Not that I would be intelligent. Who will talk to me intelligently about that topic, right? So I pick a topic, or I pick a person. I'd be like, okay, this person seems like an interesting personality, right? So, you know, I think there's a lot for me to learn and probably for other people to learn. So I pick a topic or a person. I send them a request saying, hey, you know, would you be willing to talk about either this topic or, you know, anything that you think will be useful. Another example is, I saw this friend of mine who recently completed a course on design thinking. And, you know, he said, he was like bragging about it on LinkedIn, saying, completed this course, here's my certification. Immediately after that, I pinged him saying, hey, can you like, you know, talk to me about design thinking on the podcast, right? So it's stuff like that. So if they accept, some people say no, but if they accept, then I generally think of a list of questions that will help me grow. And I send it to them, right? I say, hey, here's the list of questions. What do you think? Can you talk about this? And they come back saying, looks good, or, you know, add this, remove this and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So there's a back and forth prep process, right? And we talk about, okay, here's what it is and stuff like that. And sometimes there's this one friend of mine, Shashank, with whom I've done quite a few videos, and he loves to prep. So he will not just do one take. He'll sometimes call and talk about the topic in detail, sometimes do like a, you know, prep call and stuff like that, because it's just better that way. I think the next step is to record. So, which is kind of like the simple step. Your question of the most annoying time consuming thing is basically the editing part, the next part. Because, you know, you have to take some things out, you have to add sometimes music, you have to add things at the front, things at the end, sometimes, you know, if there's some image that I need to add and things like that. So the editing part is painful. The next is, of course, publishing. But then sometimes I publish the main video, sometimes I publish the main video and a trailer.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, and the trailers are I think, the most time-consuming part of it, because I have to watch the video multiple times to see which of these are the most impactful things that are said, put them all into one little video and then publish it. So I would say the editing part, and within editing, I think the trailer part is the most time consuming. Mitala.
Got it. That makes sense. So let's say once you have your URL for the podcast, how do you get the eyeballs, or should I say ears, But either way, it's like, you know, how do you get that attention?
So I don't have a specific strategy around this, right? But for me, I just do some very simple things. I post it on Facebook, I post it on Twitter, and I post it on WhatsApp. I send it to different people who I think will be interested in a particular topic. I used to occasionally post on LinkedIn, but off late, I stopped. I may start doing that in the future. Okay. So, yeah.
Got it. Now, I don't know, maybe I'm not the best person to answer this because I'm biased on it, but ads work. Like, when it, you know, whichever, you know, thing that you want to really promote, I believe you should think about ads and advertising in general. Like, I definitely recommend, like, maybe thinking about advertising at some point as well, to the right audience, obviously. Yeah. So maybe in this section, I want to ask two more questions, and that will be all for our podcast. So, so the penultimate question for you is, like, are you losing friends when you blast them with this weekly reminders of the content you're creating? Or is it the other way around? I'm assuming it's the other way around, that you're maybe connected with more people, but I just want to hear that from you.
So is this question around after the content is done, I'm sending this to people and asking them
yes.
to watch?
Yeah.
So I'm not very aggressive at marketing. So I'll just post it on Facebook. I'll post it on Twitter and that's it. Sometimes if I know that a person will like a topic, I'll text them specifically on like WhatsApp or, you know, Facebook Got Messenger it. Or email them or something like that. So I'm not very aggressive. So people haven't run away from me yet. That's just, I guess, just the way I am. I will start doing that for at least the people who are interested. I may maybe form a group or something like that and see if there's some opportunity there. But I haven't done it, so I haven't lost friends yet, Nitala. But I've had people who say great stuff. You know, I've started to follow it. I had this colleague of mine saying, hey, I saw that you posted a video on MLMs. I've actually bookmarked it to watch this weekend. So, I do get occasional, in fact, on the positive side, but I don't aggressively go and market it. I should. I made a note of your previous point as well, that marketing helps, and I will probably do that.
Cool. That makes sense. And if you are getting great and positive feedback, then probably you're on the right path, right? So that's definitely good feedback that you're getting. So the last question, once a great person said, everything that has a beginning has an end. You know what, I'm actually kidding because that's just a movie dialogue. But what I want to say is, how do you take care of plagiarism in your content? I mean, like, you can technically listen to 5 other podcasts and create your version of the content, and then you can say, this is my stuff, right? So how do you take care of that in your content?
So there's this, there's a saying, but it's also like a joke, right? So if you are referring to, or if you're copying from one source, it's called copying or plagiarism. But then if you're referring to or copying from multiple sources, it's called research, right? So I'm appreciating the fact that people are putting in research and not just copying or plagiarizing. But to me, I'm not overly concerned about that, because I'm thinking that if people can go out there and learn something, it's not something that I've even thought about, to be honest. I would rather people copy it. I hope people copy the model, because they will learn. I may get something to learn. I really hope people copy things from the podcast. If they are listening to my videos or podcasts and replicating some of those ideas in their podcasts, it's actually great, because other people get to learn. If they give me credit for it, I'm grateful. If they don't, that's also okay. Because I think for me, the vision is, you know, like I said earlier, do I get to learn and will it help other people? I'm really not looking at the plagiarism side of it. I'm not bothered, to be honest. I'm not bothered yet. I don't know in the future if my perspective will change, but so far and in the near future, I don't see myself getting caught in that, what I would say, quagmire, let's say. Yep. Right? So I would not.
Got it. Yeah, thanks for the honest answer. So I think this is a lot of great information, right? So I thoroughly enjoyed speaking to you. I think we should do one more, which is more like a podcast 201. You know, that answers the sections like learning will get you earning, where you will share your learnings on how to progress as a successful podcaster. Like Speak Money to Me, which is more about what are the benchmarks to consider when you are making money via podcasts, or does podcasts even make money, right? We can address such basic questions. You can also talk about how content is the king when making podcasts and how to get technical. Like, you know, when you are making a podcast, what are the things you use? Like, what do you need? A mic? Do you need a specific video to make this stuff and stuff like that? So I think these are all like a lot of other things that I want to uncover with you and in the next podcast, which would be our 201 version.
Absolutely, Nitala. So I mean, like, I've known you for, I'm trying to think, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 years now. I always enjoy talking to you, and you know, I think I would look forward to that second conversation, Nitala. So yeah,
sounds good. Yeah, thanks for your time.
Yeah, and I should say thank you for your time, and thank you for this idea. I think it was great. So thanks a lot, and I really hope. So actually, I've learned from this because it's helped me crystallize my thoughts on certain things, and I hope people, you know, who are listening or watching, have learned as well. So Nitala, I want to say thanks a lot to you for actually coming up with this idea. So thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah.